On the Coyote Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? Welcome to another episode of YoteCast. It's great to have you alongside for this episode. Coming up in the show today, we'll talk Coyote basketball, women's and men's, and football with Jay Elson of Midco Sports Network. And also coming up, of course, our conversation, weekly conversation with the athletics director at the University of South Dakota in David Herbster. That's all coming up. But this week we wrapped up the Summit League basketball tournaments. And obviously things finished on a very high note for the women's team with the Summit League tournament championship, back-to-back Summit League tournament championships. And they dominated their way through the Summit League tournament. I thought that's what was impressive. There have been times where we've had really good women's basketball team at USD, and they have had to fight and claw their way through the Summit League tournament, but they dominated these games, winning 89-66, 81-55, and 66-43. The championship game against Omaha, just dominating their way through, showing that they are a team that not only can win a lot of games, but they can win in convincing fashion. And I thought that was incredible. What Don Plitzelwine and her staff have done at the University of South Dakota has been amazing, and I think we all need to appreciate definitely what we have, because this women's basketball program, it started building a long time ago. But it's not always easy to grab a hold of the torch and keep carrying it at a very, very high level. And that's what Don Plitzelwhite and her staff have done. Give them a lot of credit for what's happening in women's basketball at the University of South Dakota. Who knows what'll happen come Selection Monday and the first round opponent and all of that stuff in San Antonio, Texas. But regardless, an opportunity for an NCAA tournament, something that was ripped away from the majority of this team a year ago. Obviously, a lot of these returners knows what that felt like. And now the opportunity to return to the NCAA tournament has got to be an absolute incredible feeling for that group. And there are so many people involved when it comes to winning a championship. So big congratulations out to Don Plitzelwhite, her staff, her team, because they are back-to-back Summit League tournament champions, and we wish them all the best on their road to the NCAA tournament. We'll get a lot of thoughts probably in next week's podcast and everything on the NCAA tournament. We'll know by then where they're going to go, who they're going to play, and all of that. Well, we know where they're going to go. We know the general area, right? It's all in the San Antonio region, but we'll know the specific venue, and we'll know who they get to play. So I can't wait to find out how things unfold for them. We're definitely looking forward to it, no doubt about that. Incredible men's season. When the Coyote men's basketball team started their season, things were rough. They were shooting the ball poorly. They were losing games. They couldn't find victories, and they got off to, you know, an 0-3 start before a game was canceled. Then they lose two more in Sioux Falls against UND and NDSU, and I know the feeling wasn't very good amongst Coyote Nation. But then they score 91 points and beat South Dakota State, which was an accomplishment, make no mistake about it, December 12th, and that felt good. And after a home loss to Drake, the Coyotes got things rolling. They won 10 consecutive games, including a 9-0 start in Summit League play. It wasn't always pretty, but they found ways to get victories, and they put themselves in a really good spot. And obviously, players earned their spots, newcomer of the year for A.J. Plitzelwhite, first team awards for he and Stanley Amude, coach of the year for Todd Lee, all of that very much earned by this team. They continued to grow. It was amazing to watch the growth of Xavier Fuller, Cruz Perrell Hunt, Mason Archambault, Tassos Kamateros, Nikola Zizic. I thought he was a huge loss in the Summit League tournament because of his ability to block shots, defend, rebound the basketball. He was leading the team in offensive rebounds while playing limited minutes. So it was a lot of fun to watch their growth, and we continued to see it throughout the course of the season. Unfortunately, things didn't end as well as what they would have liked. Obviously, the goal is a tournament championship. Instead, a 79-75 loss in the semifinals against North Dakota State, a game in which the Coyotes had opportunities. And, man, it was fun. That was a fun game despite the outcome. But regardless, this team was fun to watch, and we've got a lot of reason to be excited about going forward for Coyote men's basketball. So we'll take a look at we'll look at all that as we continue to go forward. But we can't wait. We'll look forward to seeing how things unfold for USD men's basketball. All right, so that has us underway here on the podcast. Great to have you alongside. For this one, we'll have Jay Elson of Midco Sports Network get his thoughts on men's and women's basketball and football as well, because we have the home opener coming up this weekend. That'll be a lot of fun. But we get it started this week, as we always do, with the athletics director at the University of South Dakota. His name is David Herbster. David, another exciting week. Obviously, there's a lot going on, but a huge week for women's basketball. Summit League tournament champions back-to-back that they've been able to claim, and they punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament. This was a challenging year, obviously, for everyone involved, but now that we've completed the Summit League tournament, we're that much closer to the basketball finish line, and to me, it's incredible that we even got to this point. It's incredible to see what everybody has done collectively to make this happen.
Without a doubt, it has been one of the more challenging years for our coaches and our student athletes. Just to get to this point, I know we've talked about it before, and you know, the things that our training staff has done, really everybody that's pulled together to try to make it through, you know, the seasons. You know, our doctors at Sanford have done an unbelievable job giving us the guidance and working with us on testing, on contact tracing, and a whole host of things. But yet to be able to get to the point where you're actually hosting championships really signifies the fact that you made it through the year, right? And so that's what makes this so rewarding. And you know, for our women's team to what's so special about them winning is the fact, or the way the season ended last year, and that the tournament was kind of taken out from underneath you, and to come back under all these, with all these circumstances, with all of the restrictions that were put in place, to be able to come back and win it again, to now actually be able to go to the NCAA tournament, it's really special. And it's really, really hard to get to the NCAA tournament. It's really, really hard to win back-to-back tournament titles, because, you know, those are, you got 3 games in 3 days or 3 games in 4 days, whatever it is. So it's a grind, but probably the best was certainly the looks on the faces on the girls, the team on the floor, cutting down the nets, that pure joy. I think what was even better is the welcome home that we had Tuesday evening after the game, and seeing, you know, Vermilion show up and the police escort and the fire trucks and everything, kind of, you know, giving them that kind of sense of at least a little bit of connection with the fan base, and which is hard, right, when you're trying to keep everybody distanced. But I think that one really kind of capped off a great tournament run for them.
Yeah, and a dominating tournament run. They ran through that tournament just dominating everybody in the way, which was fun to see. You were there. You experienced it. Obviously, this was a challenging tournament, I thought, without having fans. But I think that's what's incredible about the women's team. They've always been really good at generating their own energy.
That's the big thing, John, is what, you know, and that energy comes from, and that's just not game day energy. You get to, fans get to see that on game day, but you really have to be in the game mentally, whether you're on the bench or you're playing. And this team does an excellent job of doing that. And you know what? They love each other. They love the game. They love playing. They love competing. So the stuff that you see, I appreciate it, because at this age, it's sometimes hard to just really be free with your emotions, you know, to be able to express that outwardly. And this team doesn't have a problem with that. And that helps you. That can pull you through. And really, when you're at an environment where you just had parents there, you don't have the big crowds. You don't get that type of energy. And this team, you're right, created their own energy. And you know what? They needed it. And you're right, they really had to, the wins throughout the tournament, whether they were, however those games started, this team finished them and finished them in a big way.
You know, you mentioned the parents got the opportunity to be there, and that obviously was something special. Disappointing not to have just every fan that we could find in the building for a special moment like this, but how important was it to you for the Summit League to allow the families of these athletes into the facility and see these, not only the championship moment, but see the Summit League tournament in person?
We pushed for it very hard. There was a very safe way to do that. And I think each team got 50 tickets for family members, immediate family members. No team there at the tournament used all of their 50 tickets. And some of it's just based on the proximity of the athletes or travel or whatever it was. So you never had 100 parents there for both teams. But it was, to me, as a parent, I would have, it's extremely important to be there to support your child. And I think the environment and where we are right now nationally certainly allowed for that. I probably could have made a case to allow more fans in there. Certainly we've been able to do that. So, you know, the Dakota schools have been able to find that formula to allow more, you know, limited capacity, but more fans in there. But absent of being able to have that, to me, just being able to have the parents in there, you know, I look at it as a no-brainer, but I'm not the one that makes that decision. You just get to hear me talk about why I think it's the right move. It wasn't me. It wasn't all me. I think all of us as athletic directors were very, very supportive and really advocated for this.
Well, and it's certainly something that every school has to be on board with for it to happen at a conference tournament type setting. But the women win the Summit League Tournament Championship second consecutive year. I know it was a disappointing finish on Monday night for the men's basketball team, but that team came a long ways this year after a tough start to the season of the way they got it going. A good Summit League regular season, obviously a tough loss to A.J. Plitzelwhite in the second to last game of the year. But this team battled back and gave itself an opportunity. It was really fun to see that team's growth throughout the course of the year.
It really was. You know, just watching them from the beginning games to, you know, just a microcosm of that is how I thought we improved when we played in that Dakota Showcase against North Dakota State, and South Dakota State. Each game we found, I mean, there were different things you could kindly see us improve. And then that last game against South Dakota State, it was a you know, we kind of blew the doors open, and it showed you can, this team can play both on the offensive end and the defensive end. And, you know, getting to really fully understand and look inside a little bit, 11 of these players on this team never saw action in a Coyote uniform last year. So it was really a big blend of this team getting to know each other and figure each other out and how you play. And again, really, at a time when it's not like we were together all summer playing, getting to know each other. I mean, everybody was kind of at home. So, and then, you know, that non-conference season, I think I really look at that as that's how we started to learn more about each other, who we are, open it up to the conference season, and really started to turn it on. And, you know, two of our three series were on the road, and you come up with sweeps on the road, and that's really been tough to do. And so at the end, to put yourself in a position on the last day to be a regular season champion was huge based on how, you know, this team really started the season. And I think that's very reflective in the fact that Coach Lee was named Coach of the Year, because I don't think anybody expected really much of this team at all. And so for them to kind of turn it around, yeah, disappointing in the Summit League tournament, but also realizing the injury to AJ, we had to figure that one out. Nikolai Zizic, he was out. So you had two, your all lead, your first team point guard, and then your big backup guy who had spent time as a starter. Now you've got to totally retool your lineup and your rotation and your subs. So we came close, but it wasn't good enough on that night. And, you know, and then we look at the next day and what North Dakota State almost did to Oral Roberts in coming back from a 25-point deficit at halftime to tie the game. They kind of did the same thing to Oral Roberts that they had done to us. You give that game one more minute, and NDSU might wins that game. So it could be a very well different scene.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a it was quite an interesting game, no doubt about it. But great season for the Coyote men. They finish it, obviously, not the way they would have liked, but so much growth, I felt like, throughout the course of that season. Exciting weekend this weekend. The home opener for Coyote football. Seems weird to be saying that in March, but we're getting used to it. How excited are you to have this football team back at home and to have an actual game in the building that so much work and financial support has gone into to renovate the West Side?
You know, the anticipation of this has just been incredible. I feel like a kid that, you know, Christmas got moved a year, and then it got moved back another 3 months, and then it got moved back another 2 weeks. And it's just the sense of anticipation is at a crescendo right now. I just want to get in here and play. I want this team to be able to run out of the tunnel for the first time, out of their locker room for the first time for a game. I want the fans to wander around and see what everything is and what it looks like. And so much hard work went into this, not only for the folks in the department, on the football staff, but, you know, this campus and the support from the administration and our facilities management staff have done such a huge, huge amount of work to get us to this point. And then the fans that actually financially contributed and supported our season ticket holders that still make everything, you know, they're the base of what we do, and they're kind of our lifeblood. That to me is, you know, there's so many little different parts and nuances to this I can't wait. Honestly, I want Saturday kickoff to be right now, because I can't wait to watch those guys run out of the tunnel for the first time and to hear the roar of the crowd in the dome now that it's, that West Side is completed.
You know, things will be a little bit different. Obviously, no tailgating and some of that stuff along with the football games this year. But hopefully fans can just grasp the idea, understand it for the remainder of this year, and appreciate that, you know, we get the opportunity to have fans in the stands, and not everywhere gets that opportunity right now.
You know, there are teams this year that have, there's players, athletes this year that have elected or opted out of playing, and there's teams that have opted out of playing. Shoot, there's conferences that have opted out of playing, and the fact that we have the opportunity to play, the amount of work that's gone into that, and then you're right, there's still places that are now not allowing fans in the stands, and the fact that we do get fans in the stands, and we'll be about a third capacity or so, somewhere in that neighborhood, about 35% or so. Yeah, in my mind, I feel extremely fortunate for us to be in this position. I know there might be others that are disappointed that they can't come to a game or they can't get a ticket to a game, and I can certainly appreciate that. But I think what we can really, really, what we have to grab onto is the fact that this is what we have right now, and we have to make the most of it. And, you know, we talk to our staff and our coaches, and, you know, I know we had a long time off and we had all this, everything, you know, hanging out in limbo. We got to get through the months of March and April right now. And again, we have to, you know, in winning the day, that winning that day gets us to tomorrow. And if we can do that, then we can get to the week. And then that's been our mantra. And so, but now as everything happens at once, now is where the rubber hits the road, and it's all hands on deck right now. And so, our staff has done an incredible job with the amount of work and hours that they've put in with all of these different things going on. I hope our fans, and I think our fans do understand, and there's going to be those that don't agree with the limitations on capacity or having to wear a mask. And I get all that. I really do. But this is what it's going to take for us to be able to play. And yeah, you kind of grudgingly go along with it. And we're going to need everybody to do that so we can continue to play. And it's a little short-term pain for some long-term gain.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're looking forward to it. Let's transition to Ask the AD. Fans can submit questions in social media posts or by emailing yotecast@usd.edu. And as you talk about capacity for football, I think you said the number 35%. Is there an opportunity for that number potentially to increase by the end of the football season, or is this pretty much set here for the remainder of this academic year?
This shouldn't be to ask the AD section. This should be get out your crystal ball section. Of the,
you are the crystal ball.
I would love that to be the case, but I at this point we'll probably hold the line. Now things might change by the end of March, to the point of vaccinations or the rates and the positive cases and things like that, where we could at least consider it. But here's the thing: our entire seating chart, kind of capacity, the way we have kept everybody, socially distanced. I don't know right now how we totally redo that to add more seats in here, because it would be a matter of basically almost moving every single season ticket holder at that point in time in order to accommodate additional tickets in here. So I would say it's a long shot, but I would just say it's a long shot. I would be, things would really have to change again, I think, even more, significantly more, for us to be able to consider that.
Well, and I think we've learned during this pandemic, never say never. Even though a lot of things are a long shot, never say never. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, one more for you. The Summit League Cross Country Championships were recently held, and South Dakota was not amongst the teams. I think four teams competed in the Summit League Cross Country Championships. What went into that type of decision, and how that impacted maybe other sports?
Good, it's a good question. So the indoor track meet was the weekend before, was that Friday, Saturday before. And then the cross country championships were on March 5th. And this really came down to, this was more of a conversation with Coach Huber. And as I'm talking to Lucky, and like, we had initially chosen not to have cross country championships. And the reason being is that there were no opportunities for our cross country runners to even run. They even run in a meet. This would have been the only thing that they would have done. Now, at the same time, most of our cross country team is also on our indoor track team. And so you're getting yourself ready and you're tapering yourself for the indoor meet. And without any opportunities to compete, and with the type of championship and half the field, basically half the league competing in it, it wasn't the type of championship that we were training for or that we expected. And, the reasons why some of the coaches wanted to do this, and our coaching staff not being one of them, I thought was extremely selfish. And so all in all, I think our teams and our athletes were okay with not doing it. Our coaching staff didn't want to do it. We weren't going to put our athletes in the position to be successful. And if you can't do that, then why do it? And so the staff made the decision that they weren't going to go, and I fully and totally supported it.
Well, everybody continuing on and doing the best they can, no doubt about it. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciated, as always, and we'll look forward to that home football opener this weekend.
Yeah, you and me both, brother. Hey, and everybody also needs to know that this will be your first home football game behind the mic as our play-by-play guy. So good luck to you, too.
I appreciate it. We're looking forward to it.
Well, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
He's David Herbster, the athletics director at the University of South Dakota. For the past decade, there's only been one place to watch your favorite coaches, players, and teams, and that place is Midco Sports Network, celebrating 10 years of sports this season. And speaking of Midco Sports Network, pleased to be joined this week on the show by Jay Elson of Midco Sports Network, who does a tremendous job covering USD athletics for Midco, and continues to obviously set the bar high for coverage for USD, and really does a great job informing fans, as you are well aware. But this week we had a chance to catch up and talk men's and women's basketball, and of course, Coyote football. Jay, we finally made it through the Summit League tournament, and I know that you were kind of I know you were kind of like everyone else. You probably wondered at some point if we would ever get to the Summit League tournament, but what an incredible year to balance, kind of a balancing act through all the challenges, and make it to a Summit League tournament. I thought was really special for this league.
Yeah, it was, and to be honest, it was really special for us broadcasters too. I mean, I put something together yesterday, just a little post, kind of reflecting on that very thing, because you know, I've been covering college athletics, college basketball specifically, and football, sports in general for a long time. This is easily the most unique year. I don't think that comes as a surprise to anyone. But it's also one thing it's given me is, you know, kind of a renewed appreciation for just the fact that I have the opportunity to do what I love all the time. And I think it also brought an understanding of just how quickly that can go away. So the fact that we got here again, I think I talked about it on one of the broadcasts during the tournament, was just like, you have to, the level of credit that these student athletes, the coaches, the administrators on down all deserve for getting us here, is incredible. I mean, as if it's not enough of a commitment and sacrifice to be a student athlete in college, let alone Division I. Now you throw in the testing and all the extra protocols and all these different things, you still have to go to school, and you still have to get good grades. They deserve just so much of an applause and a pat on the back, however you want to phrase it, for sticking it out and doing what they had to do to ensure that they would get the opportunity to play or coach or lead and give us all the opportunity to watch them do it. So very, very thankful just from even my perspective that we were able to get through that. And it was unique. It was different. It was felt strange, frankly, at times, especially during the tournament. But the bottom line is it was all about playing the games and finding a way to do it safely. And lots of people played a role in getting that done. So that's fantastic.
No doubt. We got it done and got to the finish line. And for the women's basketball team, a back-to-back Summit League Tournament championship after beating Omaha on Tuesday in the championship. And they just continue to be obviously very special in what that program has built. It started a while back, and it's continued to build. And they really made their mark and continued this run under Coach Plitzewhite.
No, they have. And in some ways, just pushed it further along the road. You know, I mean, the level of success that they've been able to sustain is incredible. You know, and going back to last year, finishing 30-2, reaching 11 in the AP poll. I mean, you don't see that. You just don't. And it's to lose everything that they did and be able to come back. And obviously they have a tremendous big three in Hannah, Liv, and Chloe. Those are pretty nice players to build around, but there was a lot of figuring things out beyond those three in terms of how things were going to work, how people were going to help them the most, and all of that. So to get through all that, get through this weird year where scheduling even was done on the fly at times, says a lot about them. Says a lot about Dawn. Says a lot about those players. And you know, as special as that was last year, and I don't want to take anything away from what they did, because that team was amazing. We may never see a team quite like that ever again. I mean, that's just being honest. And I certainly feel for those seniors that didn't get to realize the dream of winning the conference tournament and then going into the NCAA tournament. But at the same time, in some ways, it almost makes this one a little more special because given the year that it is and given the year that they fought through and got to this point and are winning the tournament, you know, now they're going to get that. And so, you know, while it was taken away, I just think it's poetic justice in some ways that they were able to get back there and win it again. And now they're going to get that opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament. And that's pretty special. So certainly a lot of people that played a big role in that success, and together they really pulled something off that was pretty special and unforgettable.
Yeah, special season for them, and hopefully the run can continue for a few more games in the San Antonio region in the NCAA tournament for that group. Obviously, they'll get at least one, and we'll hope they stick around for a while. Not quite the same ending for the men. They obviously didn't make it to the championship game, but I thought a special season for the men through a lot of challenges that they dealt with from the word go at the very beginning, and the way that they came together. What'd you make of the growth of the men's basketball team throughout the year?
It was tremendous. There were a lot of questions, very fair questions, because of the group that they lost last year. I mean, you bring in, anytime you have to bring in 11 new players, that's going to be a chore. You know, you've got to get everybody on the same page. You've got to teach them the system. You've got to figure out roles. You've got to develop team chemistry that isn't already established. And it all fell into place, John. I mean, it really did. And Todd and his staff deserve a ton of credit for figuring out how to get all that done, especially in the face of all this, because you throw in the extra circumstances of all the COVID struggles that they had and all the guys that were having to quarantine for ridiculous amounts of time. That was just bad luck. And that slowed the process a little bit longer. Obviously, you don't have the off season that you normally would have. That slowed things down a little bit. And we saw that at the beginning of the season when they weren't able to win one of those first five games, that it, you know, we were seeing some of those growing pains play out. And then I thought everything turned around when they got to the Pentagon the first time, ironically. Even though they only came away with one win, I thought that's where we started to see that this team was kind of coming together. You could see it start to gel. You could see the guys were starting to develop a better understanding of who they were within the program and within this team. And they started to play much better on both ends of the floor as a result. And then they reeled off nine straight to open the league season and really took things on. As Todd has said, I mean, they really were in first place until the last day of the regular season. And with a team that was almost brand new, that's an amazing accomplishment in and of itself. And then when you throw in two, losing AJ in that last weekend of the regular season, and then, you know, suffering the loss that, you know, prevented you from winning a conference title the very next day. It would have been easy maybe to feel a little bit sorry for themselves, you know, just based on the circumstances, especially if you consider Nikola Zizic getting hurt just a few days before that, and Mason Archambault had his issue a couple weeks prior to that. It probably felt like the snowball was getting out of control on them and that things were kind of falling apart for them. Instead, they work on things throughout that week of practice leading up to the Summit League tournament, and they come on, and I thought they played exceptionally well for the most part in those two games. They defended really, really well against Western Illinois. Their efficiency on offense was really good. I mean, it's 60% or something like that for the game. And for the most part, we saw a lot of the same things on Monday night against North Dakota State. Just unfortunately, they weren't able to finish it off and came up a little bit short of having the opportunity to play for the championship. But I thought that was really indicative. That performance, the effort there, despite the loss of AJ and not having Zizic and being really thin at the post spot and managing the lineup the way that they did, I thought that was – that made it very clear why Todd was the coach of the year in the Summit League this year. And I thought it was anyway, but that just – that was kind of – the icing on the cake for me was just to see how he prepared that team to go out there and be competitive and have a chance to reach the conference championship game, despite all of the things that had gone against them over the final month of the season. So you're right. It was a special year for them. Disappointed to see it come to an end the way it did. I know a lot of people were excited about the idea of them playing for the conference championship. And it just didn't work out that way. But you know what? I think based on what we saw this year, who we know is coming back, there's a lot of reason for optimism about the future of this program.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Certainly a deserved Coach of the Year award, no doubt, for Todd Lee. Jay, let's talk football. The home opener this weekend for the Kiowa football team. They'll take on the Missouri State Bears. Your first television football broadcast of the year on Midco SN, but not your first broadcast of the year, helping us out on the radio to start the year against Illinois State, which was tremendous and a lot of fun, by the way. But you've been able to follow, obviously, the football team through its first couple of weeks, and it's been an interesting start to the year. But and as you talked about men's basketball, some growing pains with football a little bit, but I don't know about you. I'm really encouraged by what we've seen so far.
I don't know how you can't be. I mean, you know, the scheduling, the way it worked out, and there's been a lot made of it, and understandably so. They lose the home game off the top, and then you have to start your season by going on the road consecutive weeks. And, oh, by the way, not just that, but you have to do it on with, you know, 5 days between the games. I mean, that's crazy how that worked out, and really unfortunate. But I thought they did a lot of good things in those first two games, despite that. And when you're trying to break in a brand new quarterback and you're trying to, you know, kind of figure out your identity with him running the show offensively, you know, I don't know how you look at what Carson did the first 2 weeks and don't come away thinking he's going to win a lot of football games at USD. I mean, that kid is he's a different kind of talent, and that's taking nothing away from the previous two quarterbacks. Obviously, they were exceptional in their own right. But he's doing this as a true freshman and standing in there and making, you know, for the most part, making really good decisions. It's not been perfect, sure, but you can't expect that out of anybody, let alone a freshman. So I think that he's been a tremendous bright spot early. I think the other bright spot really is the progress we've seen defensively. You know, you face the number 7 team in the country on the road in the first week. You force 7 turnovers and you completely flip a game that looked like it might be getting out of hand, you end up winning it. And the defense is really the one that sealed the deal, whether it was taking the turnovers or getting the critical stops down the stretch of that game that finished it off. And that's a tremendous credit to them. I thought they, you know, they obviously against North Dakota, you know, they gave up a big day on the ground. There's a couple of big chunk runs there that stood out. But overall, I still think they did a lot of good things. They forced another 2 turnovers, including one in the red zone at the goal line, essentially, to prevent a score. They also picked off a pass when North Dakota was driving toward the end of the first half. Brock Mogensen got the pass there that killed that drive that might have given North Dakota an opportunity to score before the half. So I think they're making big plays at big times, and that's indicative of a real understanding of the game, an awareness of the situation, and that's a big part of it. The mental part of it is huge, and execution certainly can be cleaned up. It always can, but there's a lot of promise there, and I've seen progress certainly from the fall of 2019 to now, and it looks like with what time that they had to work things out, they've done a pretty good job with it. So. Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of things, you know, through 2 weeks that give me reason to believe that this team is ready to take a step forward. And will that be right away this spring or will it be in the fall? I mean, that's what we don't know yet. But I think from a developmental aspect, regardless of what happens here in the spring, this experience for this team that is still largely very young, especially at some key spots, this is a huge opportunity for them. You know, and obviously everybody wants to see them win games you know, do something, you know, fun right here in the spring and not wait till fall because people don't like to wait. I get that. But I think the priority here needs to be development. And that's what people need to remember as we go through this spring is week to week. Are they getting better? Are they continuing the progress that we've seen? So far, I think the answer is yes. Now, you know, they're 1-1, but they've also played the number 7 team and the number 4 team in the country. You may or may not agree with the rankings that those teams had at the time, but that doesn't matter. That's what they were. That's how they'll go down in the history books, those games and those results. And just throw in the fact that they both were on the road. I think there's a lot to be excited about.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing them this weekend at home. I know the fans in attendance will be excited for it as well. Jay, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. As always, keep up all the great work, my man.
Sounds good, buddy. See you soon.
He's Jay Elson of Midco Sports Network. My appreciation very much to Jay for taking the time to talk Coyotes here with us. Great stuff from Jay Elson. Okay, Yotes fans, let's bank some noise. First Dakota National Bank is here to help you reach all of your financial goals. Bank some noise with First Dakota at firstdakota.com. Member FDIC. Well, it is a busy, busy week coming up in Coyote Athletics this week and all throughout the course of the weekend. There's a lot going on. Make sure you keep an eye on the schedule page because things change, obviously, a lot. But coming up this weekend, the NCAA Indoor Track and Field Championships in Fayetteville, Arkansas. They are set to take place on Friday through Sunday in Fayetteville, or Friday and Saturday, rather, in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Also coming up this weekend, softball still on their trip. They are playing in Florida with games, a lot of games over their spring break trip that they have. Women's soccer is home. They play on Friday and Sunday against Western Illinois. And volleyball's on the road. They play Friday and Sunday. They are playing in Denver, Colorado against the Pioneers. So we'll see how things go for the Coyote volleyball team. But obviously a team that has been very, very good. And we'll look forward to continuing to see their success. Women's tennis is scheduled to play this weekend in Kansas City. Swimming and diving takes on South Dakota State. So a lot going on. And, of course, a lot highlighted by the home game, the home event, football on Saturday. Home opener, chance for fans to see the renovated Dakota Dome, if you haven't already, if you haven't been there in person. But it'll be the first official game inside that building since its renovation, and so we're looking forward to that and can't wait to see how the football team responds after their first loss of the season, of course, last week at the University of North Dakota. For ticket information and all of the information you need on game day, go to goyotes.com. Find out everything that has changed or maybe has been adjusted leading up to this first game. Things will be a little bit different, but certainly everybody appreciates the fans coming out and enjoying some Coyote football. We'll look forward to that on Saturday afternoon. That is going to, and by the way, that game will be televised on Midco SN with Jay Elson and his crew. You can also hear it on the Coyote Sports Network with myself, Gary Culver, and Carter Woodiel. We'll have the broadcast for you coming up on Saturday. Pregame show at 12 o'clock, so listen in on your way into the game. Kickoff is set for 1 o'clock inside the Dakota Dome. That is going to do it for me this week. Thanks so much for taking the time, as always, to listen to our shows and our episodes. We certainly appreciate it. If you haven't already, download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a rating. Leave us a comment. That'd be great as well. And you download and subscribe, you'll never miss an episode of Yotecast. That's it for me. I'm John Thayer. Thanks so much for your time. As always, appreciate you very much. And until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Coyote Sports Network.